Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to the front lines of freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Folks, there are people who favor the Muslim terrorists who have been attacking Israel and are now being attacked by Israel. Hey, did you know that in Nigeria, in Africa, has a lot of Muslims, many of whom are terrorists, and attacked by Sunni Muslim extremists? Just in May alone, left 350 people dead and displaced over 80,000 residents, with 18,000 of them seeking refuge in a single primary school. This is just in the area of Mangu, Nigeria. The terrorists are attacking and killing people randomly. How about this? A mother of four children who had been married for 19 years found her husband was dead when a terrorist called her on her husband's cell phone to let her know he had killed her husband and she is inherited to him as a wife by Islamic law. The Israelis aren't perfect, but at their worst, they're 1,000 times better than these people. Where's the protests from our goofy colleges against these terrorists? I'm standing with Israel. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. With Israel on the attack and Hamas and Hezbollah camps just south of our southern border, I'm betting you have some demand for your self-defense courses. Am I right, Skip?
Oh, yeah, Colonel, you are absolutely right. In fact, it's encouraging for me. I mean, it's sad that there's such a demand for it, but I'm finding that not just beginning gun owners, but more and more people are wanting to take advanced pistol classes because it's not just enough to have a card from the government that says you can legally carry. You also have to know how to run the gun, operate it, and you have to be a good shot too. So I'm encouraged that so many of my advanced pistol courses are filling up and there is a big demand for it.
Well, there should be. I mean, it's weapons skills are perishable. And if you don't work on them, you don't have them. And you might end up shooting yourself in the foot or something. That's good news, Skip. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the impact of Iran on Israel's war. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. And Judy Elias, a Jewish lady who helps American veterans and spends a lot of time in Israel, will discuss the situation in Israel. And next, Ben Spell from Good Ranchers will discuss our nation's need to be food independent. And our football co-host, Quentin Roberts, will discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games.
Troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter and join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. We'll, of course, start with the news. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, Colonel, we've got a new Speaker of the House, Representative Mike Johnson from Louisiana. He's not a vet, but he is very committed to following our Constitution, the one we took an oath to support and defend, and to honoring God. His voting record includes opposing both the sweeping toxic exposure bill for veterans passed last year and the Pentagon's abortion policy. Johnson has also supported amendments to the defense bill, including this year voting to ban gender-affirming health care for transgender troops and to repeal the Pentagon policy giving troops travel reimbursements and leave for abortions. He supported the House's Pentagon and Veterans Affairs spending bills, which included riders such as provisions to ban abortion services, transgender health care, and LGBTQ+ pride flags at the VA. He supported provisions to restrict abortion, transgender medical care, the discussion of critical race theory, diversity efforts, and punishments for troops who refuse to take a COVID vaccine.
I don't know, Mr. Johnson, but I very much appreciate his commitment to our Constitution. We've really been getting away from it. And his commitment to God, something else our nation has gotten very far from.
And the general staff of the Ukrainian Armed Forces has announced that mass desertion of Vladimir Putin's troops has occurred in the occupied city of Novotarkovka. About 60 Russian soldiers have decided to leave the ranks of the army. The local police, operating under Moscow's control, are intensely searching for escaped soldiers. It's worth noting that reports of desertion in the ranks of the Russian army have been appearing regularly since the beginning of the Kremlin's invasion of Ukraine, which was on February 24, 2022. Especially in the first months of the conflict, Ukrainian authorities and media reported on the mass desertion of Russian soldiers from the battlefield. However, the information was concealed by Russian unit commanders, who also threatened to shoot their subordinates in case of any attempt to abandon their combat positions.
This is not too surprising. Despite their truly evil leadership, the Russian people can tell success from failure and good from evil.
And Israel is accusing Hamas of hiding a military base underneath the largest hospital in Gaza, along with other hospitals. Quote, "We have concrete evidence that hundreds of terrorists flooded into the hospital to hide there after the massacres of October 7th, a spokesman said.
And it's worthy of note that there are miles and miles of tunnels in Gaza for military use, and no, that's right, no bomb shelters for civilians.
And two U.S. B-1B strategic bombers were buzzed by Russian Su-27 fighter jets over the Baltic Sea in a latest aerial flashpoint for two superpowers. This interception is the latest in a series of aerial standoffs between Russian and NATO aircraft since the 2022 invasion of Ukraine. An Su-27 fighter jet was scrambled after two U.S. B-1B strategic bombers approached the Russian border via the Baltic Sea, state media reports.
Russia does remain one of our nation's real enemies, and as risky as things are in that area, one mistake could start a war.
And our Marines are testing a robotic goat to fire rocket-propelled grenades used to disable tanks on the battlefield. The rocket launcher is strapped to the back of the commercially available robot.
As a former infantryman, I'm all in favor of new things that can kill tanks. This sounds interesting.
And South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol promised to bring the nation closer to the U.S. and take a stronger stance against Beijing. That commitment is now being put to the test as an American performing arts company has been told that it can't perform in South Korea as a result of influence from the Chinese Communist Party. The idea of cultural exchange between the U.S. and South Korea is something that top officials have personally promoted to strengthen ties between the two nations. In the case of the New York-based Shen Yun Performing Arts, however, the CCP has been able to continue its nearly two-decade-long influence campaign in South Korea. Local Shen Yun organizers say that Seoul's two major theaters have so far rejected the group's bid to perform as a result of pressure from the Chinese Communist Party. Internal documents reveal that the Chinese embassy in South Korea has for years waged an intimidation campaign aimed at both theaters as well as the South Korean government, threatening economic and political repercussions if the country allows Shen Yun to perform there. Shen Yun, which presents authentic Chinese culture through dance and music as it existed before communist rule, performs in more than 20 countries across five continents every year.
So China wants everyone in their surrounding nations to think that there was no China before the communists took over? Why would China hate their historical culture?
And while our government, including the Pentagon and the mainstream media around the world, leads people to believe that a climate crisis will soon engulf the whole world, if it hasn't already, there are some people who've looked into the science and data, and they're not convinced. According to Mr. James Taylor, the president of the Heartland Institute, when you examine the facts and data, it puts the media scares into proper perspective and dispels much of the eco-anxiety that young people across the world experience. It seems that 97% of scientists don't agree that there is a climate crisis.
As I've said many times, the climate is always changing. The state of the world has not been affected by it for prolonged periods. Climate change crisis is nonsense, and even the scientists agree. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do, and I encourage you to do it too. Check CVAFrontlines.com. That's CVAFrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. Then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk about Israel with Judy Elias. At ease, troops, take a break.
Veterans have a unique perspective on healthcare, foreign policy, and federal spending.
Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and the military community a chance to share that perspective and drive change that will make Americans safer and more prosperous.
Want to join the movement and the thousands of activists in our grassroots army? Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your home defense tip of the week. You hear the sound of breaking glass at 2 a.m. What should you do? Many people get a flashlight to investigate, but that could get you killed. Get your firearm immediately. Take up a defensive position in your safe room, then call 911 and wait for the police to arrive. The police can do the job they were trained for, and you and your family can stay safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Lenny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. The war that's going on in Israel now is a huge challenge. Hamas is the evil group that invaded Israel and rained thousands of missiles on her and intentionally killed and tortured civilians and took many hostages. This is not what legitimate armies do. This is what evil terrorist groups do. In a legitimate war, armies attack armies. Yes, civilians do get hurt and killed, but they're not the target. Hamas is fully supported by Iran, and Iran has a very well-equipped military with high-tech abilities. Oh, before I forget, many of the weapons taken off the killed Hamas attackers came from the millions of weapons we abandoned when we cowardly abandoned Afghanistan. Anyone surprised at this? This abandonment is one of the events that has shown the world that our nation's leadership, civilian and military, is incompetent. Thus, the bad guys need not fear a realistic response from us, as they did have to in the past. That reminds me, Hamas and the much larger and more powerful Hezbollah are both supported by Iran, and they have a number of locations in Mexico, just south of our border. Do you think that any of the millions of illegal aliens who have crossed into our nation might be their people? We know several thousand individuals on the terrorist watch list are here now, and that's not counting all the military-aged young men from communist China. But hey, that's no problem, right? I expect that Israel will attack and take out the Hamas nation of Gaza. The people of Gaza did select Hamas to be their government. How is that any different than the German people voting the Nazis to be their government? How did the world respond to Nazi Germany's attack on other nations? The answer is World War II. After we were attacked by Japan in World War II, our goal was to attack Japan until the nation surrendered. And we did. We bombed them, focusing on appropriate targets, but knowing the civilians were being hit and killed too. That was okay because it was their whole country, including all the civilians, who were at war with us, and they started it by attacking us. Now, they did do it right. They attacked our military areas, not our civilian areas. You may recollect that since around 2000, literally millions of Arab Muslims immigrated to Western Europe, and they're still there in virtually every nation. If the people of Gaza were so harassed, why didn't they just immigrate? Indeed, why didn't the Arab Muslim nations around them take them in as refugees? Okay, Hamas started this conflict by attacking only civilians, including a large musical event. This is a terrorist attack, not a war. Wars are a military fighting military. So in violation of all the rules of war and all rules of decency, Hamas and Gaza attacked Israel. They even took hostages. This is not a legitimate activity. I hope that Israel attacks and pounds Hamas and Gaza into the ground. As we've discussed before, the people of Gaza made Hamas their rulers, and the people of Gaza hate all Jews and want them dead. That's taught in their schools. However, Iran is the big backer of Hamas. Iran could decide to get involved, especially if we get involved, which we shouldn't, except maybe to try to find our hostages. And this could make things much, much worse. Iran has very sophisticated long-range missiles that could, among other things, hit our ships at sea. And you may remember that the USS Ford, our most modern aircraft carrier, and its other ships are in the area. If we end up fighting Iran, it could become World War III. Russia could likely support Iran, as would most of the Muslim nations in the area, including maybe NATO member Turkey. Yes, the Muslim nations are either in the Sunni or Shia sects, and the sects hate each other, but they do seem to agree on supporting terrorism. And remember that our military has never been weaker than it is now. We've provided almost all our spare military ammunition to Ukraine, and now we need to provide it to Israel, the one thing they do need from us. Our nation, which 3 years ago was an oil-exporting nation, is now importing where we can, and our oil reserves are very low. Our nation is beyond broke. We're borrowing money we can't repay, so rebuilding supplies and military forces will be difficult. Our military senior leadership is quite incompetent, something we've discussed before, so getting people to join our military is a huge challenge, no surprise. And we're looking at a possible nuclear World War III. And we have no control over our southern border. It's fully controlled by the cartels in Mexico, not the Mexican government. And both Hamas and Hezbollah, I have many sites there. Hey, do you think they might have a relationship with the cartels? Heck, that might even explain why so many terrorists have crossed into our nation, right? All terrorists see and refer to Israel as the little Satan and the U.S. as the great Satan. Indeed, I was a Mideast war planner on November 5, 1979, the day after the Iran hostage crisis began, when Khomeini first referred to us that way. Anyway, do you think they might be planning to attack the great Satan, a part of their attack on the little Satan? Remember, they don't have to worry about dying. Dying while trying to kill a non-believer guarantees entrance to heaven. So, there are millions of illegal aliens in our nation, and our nation is as weak as we could possibly be. Let's say only 1% of illegal aliens are bad guys. Well, 1% of a million is 10,000. So there's a reasonable chance we might very soon be facing terrorist attacks here at home. Oh, and maybe a nuclear World War III too? Folks, maybe none of this will happen. I sure hope and pray that it does not. But we've never been more vulnerable than we are now. So you may want to give this some thought and maybe make some preparations. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, last week, the last Army post with a Confederate namesake was rebranded. Fort Gordon, Georgia is an Army post named after Confederate Lieutenant General John Gordon and is now officially called Fort Eisenhower. And with that name change, the Bipartisan Congressional Rename Commission of 2020 has completed a nearly three-year effort to scrub Confederate names from U.S. military installations. Gordon was among the most controversial of all the Confederate leaders with a military installation named after them. Before his service in the Confederate Army, he was a slaveholding plantation owner. And after the war, Gordon would go on to serve as a state legislator and later governor of Georgia. But according to a military.com report, he was also believed to be a highly ranked Ku Klux Klan leader in Georgia, rising to the rank of Grand Dragon. Gordon died in 1904, and the installation was named after him in 1941. Now, the name change from Fort Gordon to Fort Eisenhower really reflects the goal of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, which was to name military installations to something that should inspire all of those who call them home. They should be names that fully reflect the history and value of the United States, and commemorate the best of the Republic that we're all sworn to protect. Dwight D. Eisenhower served as Supreme Commander of Allied Forces in the European theater during World War II. Rising from Second Lieutenant to Commander-in-Chief, his dedication to ensuring equal rights for soldiers and citizens alike continued to be an example and an inspiration for the present and future soldiers of the Army. So this is a fitting name change for the fort. Fort Eisenhower was one of nine military installations to receive a name change, including large and well-known installations such as Fort Liberty, North Carolina, formerly known as Fort Bragg, and Fort Cavazos, Texas, formerly known as Fort Hood. Cavazos was the first Hispanic man to earn a four-star rank in the U.S. Army. A fitting name change. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really appreciate you. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss Israel with Judy Elias from Heroes to Heroes. Then we'll talk with Ben Spell from Good Ranchers. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some boxing. Box three rounds, take a break, box another three, then stand at ease.
Hey, HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show Judy Isaacson Elias. Judy's the founder and head of Heroes to Heroes. They focus on helping veterans heal from PTSD, moral injury, and similar injuries. And a part of their healing effort is a trip to Israel, a nation that's very good at that kind of healing. I went on that trip to Israel with Heroes to Heroes several years ago. It was an amazing time and challenging time in my life. And Judy's a Jew, one with many, many contacts in Israel. So I've asked her to join us today to share her insights on what's going on there. So welcome, Judy. Thank you for joining us.
Well, Denny, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. This is a very trying time. So I appreciate you inviting me here and being able to share some of what has been going on with you and your audience.
Yeah, thank you. Judy, start by sharing how and why you started Heroes to Heroes. It's my observation that the state of Israel helps you a great deal as you help American veterans to heal.
Talk about Heroes to Heroes. Okay. When I was 16 years old, I was like a lot of 16-year-olds, rebellious. But anyway, my father was a World War II vet. He was 2nd Day Normandy, Battle of the Bulge, liberated a concentration camp. So having lived through all of that, survived that, he had a rough time and he was often checked out, and it was tough with me and my family. And I rebelled. I started going down a very, very self-destructive path. And I'm not going to go too deep into it, but at one point I spoke to my father and he said, "Would you go to Israel?" And I said, "I don't want anything to do with faith, Israel, bum, 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 down the road. I don't want to go." And he asked me, "Would you go for me?" And at that point I said, "Whoa. How can I say no to my dad?" And I went. And the day we went to the Western Wall, I was terrified to go because I thought I had cursed God. I cursed my people. I mean, who am I to be able to go to the holiest site for Jews in the world? I didn't feel I'd earned that. But I went. And when I put my hand on the wall, it changed my life. I felt for the first time in my life that I wasn't alone. And I just needed to be part of something. And I had a mission and I had to figure out what that mission was and move forward. Came back, finished school, raised my kids. In 2009, I was invited to Walter Reed, visit our soldiers. And what I saw shocked me. And as an American, as a mother, I said, "I have to do something. There's something going on with our men and women, and they need help, and they're not getting it." And I volunteered for organizations, and I said, "I'm not really loving this. We have guys who are in pain, and they're being fed alcohol and and being taken all over as if all they need is R&R, which we all do need. At the same time, plowing them with alcohol, making everything a party, and then sending people home really doesn't give them anything long term." I said, "There's got to be something." And I thought back to when I was 16 and I was so broken spiritually, I was self-destructive. I said, "Does that have anything to do with this?" And I started studying suicide. And when you dig down deep in suicide, it comes down to belonging. It comes down to faith. And when I started reading deeper about veterans and suicide, something called moral injury popped up. And I dug deep into that. And I saw that that was about the guilt and shame from war that isn't even discussed. And then I thought back to when I was 16 and I was living with all kinds of shame and guilt. And that journey back to my faith made all the difference in the world for me. It saved my life. And Israel saved my life. And I thought, what if I took veterans of all faiths on that same journey and they got to explore their faith where it all began? Would they then choose life? And now it's 2023. Over 400 veterans have gone through our program. That is now a 12-month spiritual healing program. And it's curriculum-based, it's values-based. And I don't even want to say this out loud, but in so many ways, I have to say it. All 400 are here with us. If they're not with us, it's not because of suicide. And so, you know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to the land of Israel for all of this healing and for all Israel gives to us.
Yes, ma'am. And as one of the guys who went with you on that and who experienced some amazing changes, all I can say is yes. And all the guys I know that who went with me, who I went later, are just like you described. They're better off. Okay. Thank you. We'll come at the end of our interview. We'll talk about Heroes Eros and how people can get in touch with you if they want to get involved with that. Okay, let's talk about what's going on in Israel now. It's not a war, because wars are between two armies, and armies fight each other. They don't try to kill civilians. They often do end up fighting, killing civilians. That does happen, but that's not their goal. This is an army fighting a bunch of evil terrorists. That's how I see it. Do you see it any different?
Oh, my God. They're barbarians. This is a war against good and evil. And this is a war that is for the survival of Israel and the survival of the Jewish people, as we're seeing around the world. And there is no other way to define it. And the people who are good are on the side of good. There is good and evil. Hamas, terrorists, the Muslim group that stormed the airport. This is all evil. The groups on our campuses supporting evil. These are evil people. And some of the students are too ignorant to understand that they're supporting evil. And that those who were calling us out about microaggressions are now calling for the death of every Jew in the world. And they have no moral compass. What has happened in Israel, and I'm going to mention something that has just starting to hit the news so people understand the depth of the depravity of these people. And this is in their population. Okay, this is not limited to people who call themselves Hamas. These savages put babies in the oven. A woman was tied in her home, an Israeli woman, a Jewish woman was tied up, and her baby was put in her oven and baked. And this is all on film, okay? And any people who can raise children to become that, I don't know how you save them. And the next generation of Palestinians has been raised to hate Jews, to hate me, to hate you. And Christians are right behind it. And if we don't start understanding that this is a generational problem that's been already passed to the next generation, we're going to be in trouble. But this is a war against good and evil. And every single one of us, we're on the front lines. Okay. And when our college kids, when our college savages, because somehow they got raised in America to be savages, when they're out there promoting Hamas, we need to deal with them. We need to sit them down and program this evil out of them and get them to understand how to be a human being again. We've done this to our own American children.
I agree with you, Judy, because if they'll do it or advocate or encourage others to kill people, to murder them, then they'll do it to us here if for some reason we don't agree with their philosophical thoughts or whatever. This is a danger to the world, but it's a danger to we citizens here in the United States now. And we have to do something about it. I agree with you.
We have to act. And Ron DeSantis here in Florida, he made the Students for Justice in Palestine. He designated them as a hate group. And he's not allowing any of this to go on in any state-funded campuses, on any state-funded campuses. And that's the way to begin with this.
Indeed. And there's more to discuss about Israel, and Judy's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, often do each week. Then take a break, but stay in the area. Judy and I will be right back.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S.-only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer when you shop at patriotfoods.com. We give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Judy Isaacs and Elias about what's happening in Israel. Judy, you were talking to us about what's happening in Florida, where the governor has banned the radical Hate the Jews movement that's going on in schools, colleges. That's horrible. It cannot fail to affect our nation, but it's also encouraging some very evil people, Hamas and other terrorists, to attack and try to destroy Israel. And in my opinion, from what I've read and studied, Hamas was chosen by the people of Gaza to be their rulers. The people of Gaza who all hate Jews. Indeed, they have schools paid for by the UN where they're taught to hate Jews, everybody, and have been for generations. So this is not just some poor innocent people sitting around and some terrorists operating through them. Am I reading this right?
Right. I mean, and, you know, we need to step in and reprogram the Palestinian children. One of the outcomes of this war needs to be, and the UN is never going to wake up. There's just so much hatred at the UN. The UN is, let it run, let them all talk, do whatever. But we need to come up with another organization to come in and teach Palestinian people, get rid of the hate, because there can't be a two-state solution with the current thinking of the Palestinian people.
I agree.
And the Palestinians in the West Bank would love to have Hamas. Okay. But there hasn't been there hasn't been an election. Abu Mazen, Mahmoud Abbas, whatever name he goes by today, he's the leader in the West Bank. And the minute he were to be out of there, if he were to say tomorrow, I'm done, I'm retiring, Hamas would be voted in. That's why there haven't been elections in, I believe, 16 years, because they know Hamas would be voted in. And so the people who are willing, especially after seeing the latest, which is unconscionable, these acts of brutality, until they can rid the Palestinian people of that thinking and change their thinking to a peaceful thinking, there can never be a Palestinian state. The two-state solution is dead, and it needs to be dead. And our administration needs to kill their way of thinking, that their two-state solution, bringing it up after this brutality, is just inhumane. Our own government is being inhumane.
I agree with you. Could we survive as a nation if everybody in Canada hated Americans and wanted them dead?
If they were lobbing missiles into the United States from Canada, Canada would be a parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay. We wouldn't even think twice about it. So to ask Israel to do the same, this is so beyond missiles. I mean, missiles seem like nothing after what happened on October 7th. And what's happening right now, there are hostages. There are children under the age of 5 being held in cages. And we are not screaming. The same people who were screaming about people being put in cages on our southern border are not up in arms going crazy about 5-year-old children and under being kept in cages in captivity. They have no moral clarity. They're, all these microaggressions, they're gone. If they can participate in this hate speech and they cannot get up and scream about innocent children being put in cages, in dog-sized cages, and being held hostage, where is all this anger on the left? Where are they? They're too busy supporting Hamas. You have LGBTQ plus people supporting Hamas. Hamas would murder them in a second just for being who they are. They wouldn't even have to be Jewish. I don't even there's such depravity in this country. What have we done to our children and all the academics who are pushing this and who are happy about all these murders? They should be fired. Some of them have our federal dollars. And locally on the state level, they have your state dollars. They have our tax money. What are we doing?
Yes. So it's really clear that what's happening in Israel is a tremendous threat to Israel, but Israel sees it that way and is, I believe, is going to deal with it. But it's a threat to us, too. And we need to see that, as you've been pointing out, this is a threat to the culture and the freedom of people in the United States. This is keeps so contrary going. To who we are. Yeah.
We'll be under Sharia law. If this is where the left wants to take this, what is Hamas? That's what they do.
Indeed. Your dad fought in World War II to protect and keep our country free. I fought in Vietnam to do the same thing. We can't let this happen. This is so contrary to our Constitution. It's so contrary to our culture. It's so contrary to our values that we have to stop it in the United States, in Israel, and to the extent that we can in the world. We definitely need to support Israel. I don't think we need to be over there fighting with them. I think they can handle it.
And
I certainly think we need to be supporting them in every possible way that we can.
And we need to be supporting the United States. We need to be supporting our Constitution and our rights and our rights as people to live in a free country where freedom of worship is not called out. And there's a difference between freedom of speech and hate speech. And what's going on now is hate speech. And we need to be able to discern what is hate speech from what is my right to express. I mean, we've been hearing about right to express. I have to figure out my gender, and it's a microaggression if you call me the wrong gender, and if you do this and that. That's all out the window.
Well, yeah. Okay. And here's an example. This month in Cornell University, one message threatened the shooting of all Jewish pigs. Another called for raping Jewish girls, and another exhorted students to follow Jewish students home and slit their throats. That's at Cornell University.
And they were told not to go to the kosher cafeteria where people have to eat. Okay. They pay for this. Jewish students were told not to go to the kosher cafeteria because they can't protect them. Okay. This is, maybe we shut down these schools and rebuild. I don't know what the answer is, but some adults have to get back in the room.
Indeed. So I think we have made the point clearly that this is a problem. We just can't kiss it off. We just can't hope it'll go away. We just can't hope that Israel will deal with it. This is a problem for the United States and for Israel. And by the way, I consider Israel our most reliable ally in the world. Mm-hmm. So this is something we have to stand with. We have to stand for it. We have to insist that our elected officials take the positions like Governor DeSantis did. We can't tolerate this. We just can't. And I think that's I don't know how to summarize.
And it's not going to end with the war, with the war's end.
No,
this is the war in the United States. We have a war here. And it's the war over the minds of our children. And we need to get their thinking straight.
Yes, ma'am. This is Colonel Denny Gilliman, Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Judy Isaacson Elias. Judy, We've just got a minute or two left. Take a couple of minutes now and tell us about Heroes to Heroes, what you do, and how people can get involved to learn more or maybe get help.
Okay. We work with veterans who have either attempted suicide or on a path to self-destruction. We help them reconnect with their creator to find peace and forgiveness. We look for veterans who are dealing with the shame, the guilt that they bring back from war. And that's if you know someone who has hidden themselves somewhere, you're not coming out, you just don't want to leave. Or if you're having a tough time dealing with the events of today, please contact us at heroestoheroes.org, heroestoheroes.org. Or you can give us a call at 877-3-HELP-A-HERO. And we will get right back to you and we'll take you through the process. If you have any questions, we do need your support. We are mobilizing our heroes to fight this war against Hamas or ISIS, whatever they want to be called. They're the one and the same, basically, on social media. And so our heroes will be working with high school students, college students, to start to fight this hate, to win the war for good. And so please, please join us. Again, info@heroestoheroes.org is an email, info@heroestoheroes.org. Visit our site and give us a call at 1-877-3-HELP-A-HERO.
Thank you, Judy. And while she didn't mention it, yes, they can use the contributions. It takes money to do all the great things they're doing. Thank you, Judy, for your excellent comments today and your service to our nation's military and our service to our nation. I appreciate you, and I'm delighted that we're close friends.
Denny, thank you so much. It is always a pleasure.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Ben Spell from Good Ranchers. Then football co-host Quentin Roberts will discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones, then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.